Isaiah chapter 55, please. Can you turn there? I want to invite everybody after church today to come to the front building. We've got some cake and some food. We're going to celebrate birthday today. Who's, you ask? Debbie DiMaggio. Go, Debbie. Isaiah 55. Ready? How many of you are there? Raise your hand if you're there. Okay. If you're backslidden and didn't bring your Bibles to church today, raise your hand. But I thought, I could tell by the look on his face. It's a Bible-believing church. Would you like a Bible or you just want to use the screen? Are we going to put the verse up on the screen anyway? Okay. If you put the right verse up, that'd be even better. Isaiah 55, verse 1. I said 7? You're all supporting him against me, even though I didn't say 7. We'll have to rewind and see what I said. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? That's a slap against the gluten-free community right there. Not funny? No? It doesn't make sense? Okay. My wife, I get feedback from Karen throughout the messages, as you know. All right, read the Bible. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me, hear, and your soul will live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Again, Father, we ask you, bless this time this morning, bless the words, the preaching of this message to the hearer, and just help us to gain some great things from this. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Of course, everybody knows what this week is, right? It's Thanksgiving followed by the mad dash for stuff for the next month. And most of you have that under control. So, everyone kind of gets down on Black Friday here. Everyone gets really self-righteous and holy about Black Friday too. Oh, it's so evil. People go, well, you know what's evil is overpaying for stuff that you're going to buy anyway. That's evil. So I like Black Friday, not because, I've got way to get stuff, but I like to save money because I'm cheap. Yeah, which is probably another kind of sin, but we won't talk about that this morning. In chapter 54, God is addressing Israel. And I just want to give you a little context because it's always important when you read a verse. This is a fantastic passage. You look a little bit ahead of it, and you see that God called for Israel in verse 6, and she rejected him. And then it says in verse 7, for a mere moment I have forsaken you. Paul relates this in the book of Romans, and it says, with great mercies I will gather you. Paul relates this and kind of says, there's a time period when Israel's going to kind of be set aside. Israel was God's chosen people. They rejected Christ. The church age began, and Israel is not forgotten. Israel's just kind of set aside for a second, and there's a concentration on the church. At the end of the church age, what's happened? What happens to Israel? They get back in the center of things for 7 years, that seven-year tribulation period, and then Christ returns to his nation at the end of that seven-year period, and for 1,000 years rules over as her king, rules over Israel as a king. So there's just a little mere moment when God, it's just for a moment I've forsaken you. This 2,000 years to God is a moment. And then the invitation in 55 is really everybody who thirsts. That's kind of what happened after Israel rejected Christ. The door swung wide open, and God said, Gentiles, Jews, everybody, if you're thirsty, come. In another beautiful verse, Jesus said it like this, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's an invitation that's open and cost-free. Pretty amazing. And I love what this says because it's not just a general call to everybody, but it's a call to the thirsty. Not everybody's thirsty. Not everybody recognizes what a real thirst is. But it also says something else that's kind of interesting. Water. What else is in this to drink? Wine. And what else? So it's not just, come and I'm going to give you just enough to survive. Water. Wine is about joy and fulfillment, and milk is nourishment, and it's closeness, it's intimacy. So when we come with nothing to God and we're thirsty, not only do we get what we need, but we get joy and we get nourishment and we get intimacy. And I think that's not only for the lost, that's for the saint this morning. That's for the call of God, the invitation for us to return on a daily basis to Christ when we're thirsting and making sure, of course, that our thirst is directed towards Him. Because for the next month or so, people's thirsts kind of go all over the place. They do. Unfortunately, it's not limited to a month anymore. It's like 12 months where people are thirsting for things. But there's a question that's asked here too. What's the question? The second verse. What's the question? Why are you spending your money on things that don't satisfy? This is a very good question. Why do you keep buying stuff thinking you're going to be happy? But you know what? It's not just buying with money an item. It's buying with time an activity. It's spending what really belongs to God on yourself, right? It's expending your talent in a direction that'll draw attention to yourself. The spending isn't just monetary. We do a lot of spending a lot of different ways. Amen? We do. Why do we spend on what doesn't satisfy? Why do we expel our energy going after things that bring no satisfaction at all? That bring no fulfillment whatsoever? It's a question, and one of the answers to that question is because we're deceived. Somewhere along the line, probably the advertisers. By the way, I met a subliminal advertising executive the other day, just for a second. And we get this advertising, we're bombarded all the time. You need this. You need this. You need this. You should have this. Maybe you don't need it. But wouldn't it be nice to have that? You know, you need that iPhone. You need a new iPhone. I just got an iPhone. You need another new iPhone. You need an iPhone 5. You need an iPhone 5S, iPhone 6, 6S, 6SE, 7, 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, 8, 1, 2, 9. Every new gadget, you got to have it. I got to have it. I have to have it. Why? I have no idea. But I have to have it. And then we have to have the car, and we have to have the gadgets, and we have to have all this other stuff. And then the advertisers come on, and they say, you know, I told you you had to have that. Now you need to eat this. I do? Yes, look at it. So we say, that looks really good. It's better than this other stuff. I think I'll go try it. And we're buying all this stuff, and we're expending all this energy. And then you see that cute guy or that nice-looking lady, and you begin to expend energy there. And then you start to use your talents to get yourself, as Menzel said this morning, that golden ring, that perfect job, that fantastic salary, that everything you could ever want, that brand new house, that whole thing you're going after. And then you know what we find? We get those things, and then what? That doesn't satisfy. Charlie Tremendous Jones said it like this: you get, and then you think you have, but the thing you thought you have actually has you. You get, and the thing you actually have actually has you. Why are you spending money on things that don't satisfy? Sounds kind of silly to do that sort of thing. But then he says, listen to me and eat what is good. You know, the thing that always amazes me about human nature and was always interesting about the story of Adam and Eve was that when God placed Adam and Eve in the garden, he gave them thousands of options. And there was all open territory, free reign. Adam, eat whatever you want, go wherever you want, do almost anything you want, I guess. There were no prohibitions. Go and eat. You can eat from that, all these trees of the garden, except that one. You can eat all this stuff. Look at the thousands of options. Now, think about it. You're in a garden, and you're warned. That tree over there is going to kill you if you eat from that tree. Now, how many of you, when you were kids, saw those little trees that had those bright red little berries on them and thought it may be a good idea to try one, but somebody told you, don't eat that? How many of you went ahead and ate it? Nobody, right? You kind of have some sense. I guess some of you have some sense from what I've heard. But, you know, you think that tree's going to kill me, but I have other things to eat. I have other options to eat. Now, one thing that you don't have in that little berry tree was an angelic being sitting in the tree drawing you to have a discussion about the tree. Now, that was the disadvantage that Eve had that you and I don't have about our little berry tree. Right? Who would cast a doubt on the person who told you. You know that person who told you that you can eat this berry tree? They're lying. I've been eating this for years. Look at how beautiful I am. But they had all those options. And you have so many options. God has given the saint so many options. Think of the options that you have for your time. Now, I just heard a story this morning about a family that's about to be reconciled physically that we've had a hand in that costs probably over the four-year period $80. Now, if I could take $80 out of our budget and reconcile a family, we would drain the bank account tomorrow to find families to reconcile. Wouldn't we? We would spend money on things that matter, wouldn't we? If I knew that, you know, you hear a story like that, and you say, see, now, that's an option. Now, you have an option this year. You can do that. Now, you can ring the bell. Menzel said, how much fun is that? I've done it a couple years in a row. Amory and I did it last year, or the year before last year. Chad Sanderson and I did it. This past year was hilarious. We sat up on Fall Street, just sat there, obnoxious, ringing that bell constantly, making people. We said, my thing was, put $5 in the bucket, I'll stop ringing this bell for a minute. People were dumping fives, tens in there. I'd stop. Then they'd walk away, and I'd start ringing it again. It was a blast. But you know what? Why not spend our energy, our time, our talents on something that actually matters? There's a whole lot of things clamoring for our attention, clamoring for our time, clamoring for our expenditures. And there's just a few things that really matter. And we'll talk about those in a minute. But here's something that is interesting about this passage back in Isaiah 55. It says, listen to me carefully. Eat what is good and let your soul delight in abundance. Now, wouldn't it be great to have an abundant soul? Jesus said in John chapter 10 that the thief comes to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. He comes to steal your dignity. He comes to kill your godly ambition, and then comes to destroy your identity. Dignity, your ambition, your identity stolen by someone who has really no genuine interest in you whatsoever. And Jesus says, but I have come, on the other hand, I've come so that you can have life and life that is abundant. An abundant life. An abundant life. You remember that commercial for, I can't remember what pizza dough, pizza was, frozen, Abundanza. Remember the Italian woman? Abundanza. Anyway, an abundant life. That's what I think of every time I read that verse, this Italian lady, Abundanza. You know, it's like, yes, that's what I want, Abundanza. I want to have a fulfilled life that goes above and beyond what I'd ever hoped for. And then I can tell you, hearing a story like that today, that's above and beyond anything I could have ever hoped for. You know, we've been in Africa 6-7 times now. It's above and beyond everything I could ever ask for. The Lord has made our world so small. We've had people from different countries in here. We've all been in different places. Some of you have gone to South America and Central America and into the Caribbean, and some of you have gone across country. And you know, our lives are becoming abundanza. They're becoming abundant, aren't they? If we spend on what matters. If we do what matters most. And we understand what matters most is souls. Menzo was talking about it this morning and said they were in a house that they had used for the wedding. And apparently a very wealthy individual owned it, and you could tell by the house it was owned by someone very wealthy. But they are gone now. They have died. The house, strangely, is still there. Imagine. He couldn't take it with him. I've never seen a hearse followed by a U-Haul. You can't take any of this stuff. The only thing that you can, I want you to write this down, the only thing you can take with you to heaven is other souls. That's it. That's the only thing you can take to heaven, other souls. That's all we can take. Everything else stays behind. This physical body, gone. House, car, self-image, all that stuff, all that, the trophies, gone. But souls, that's it. Why spend our time, energy, money, talent on anything other than souls? Why? Because we're deceived. Now we have to live, so we have to spend some of that energy as God directs, and we do that biblically. That's why in the following verse it says in chapter 55, verse 3, incline your ear and come to me, hear, and your soul will live. You and I need to be taught the Word of God. We need to hear God's Word all the time. You want to know why we have to hear God's Word all the time? Somebody says, well, I don't know why I have to come to church all the time. Well, here's why. Because what you're hearing everywhere else contradicts God, the mind of God. I don't know if you realize this or not, but the world is not exactly God-friendly right now. The priorities that you hear all week long have nothing to do with the kingdom of God. How many times out in the world this week did you hear that the only thing you can take with you are souls? You're not going to hear that out there. You're not. We're not. We've got to gather, as it says in Hebrews 10:25. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And incline your ear to hear, because the only way, and by the way, it's to hear, not to read. Say, well, I read my Bible every day. Not the same thing. You ought to read your Bible every day, but faith doesn't come by reading. Faith comes by hearing. Study to show yourself approved. Sure, do that. Learn, study, discipline, be time, be in the Word of God. Write notes, read it, concentrate and focus. Set aside time to do that. Sit in a quiet place with nothing else going on. Turn off that darn TV. Shut off that stupid phone and put your mind here in this book. Yes, absolutely. However, I can direct where I go here. And if I'm convicted by something, I can just do this. I'll just study this. But see, the church, God gives pastors and teachers. And the church and the preaching of the Word of God comes in season and out of season. That's what Paul told Timothy. Preach the Word, be instant, which means you be ready, in season, out of season. That means when people want to hear it, when people don't want to hear it. When they've already heard it, but they need to hear it again. When they need to be challenged, you preach it again. When they're in sin, you preach it again. When they're distracted, you preach focus. When they're not studying, you preach discipline. When they're spending their money on garbage, you preach budget. You do everything you can through the Word of God to preach. That's why I need to hear the Word of God all the time, because it challenges me beyond what I'm going to challenge myself to do. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, but I'll run from that sword on my own. But when I'm sitting in a church with a group of people or in a Sunday school class or in a Bible study and I'm listening, that word comes at me, I have no place to go but to God. I sat in church on Sunday, this past Sunday. I wanted to hear Pastor Prime speak. Pastor Prime talked about sin. It was very creative. And I was listening to it, I thought, my gosh, this is so good. I was so happy to hear somebody else preach. You know, we have other guys who preach, and I love how our guys preach. By the way, Jason, I heard, did a great job on Sunday. Thanks for covering. I'm so glad we have guys like that who can step up in the pulpit and preach a really significantly good message. Amen? It's very good, so thank you again. But, you know, I want to be the kind of believer that God can challenge and I'm not going to run. Right? Isn't that what you want to be? Hello? Yes. So it says here, you're going to spend money and time and energy on the wrong things unless you can get yourself to a place where you understand I'm not going to run from God. I'm going to let God preach to me. I'm going to let God speak to me. I'm going to let God go at my heart. I'm going to let God correct me. I'm going to let God address me. I'm going to let God change me. I want to be changed and transformed, and I want to grow. And in order to do that, I've got to be challenged. If you don't hear God's word, you won't grow. Somebody agree with that? See? If you're not challenged about what you're not supposed to do and told what you are supposed to do, if you're not taught, as it was mentioned this morning, to put this off and put this on, if we're not reminded constantly and under the hearing of the Word of God, under the sound of that Word, where Paul told Timothy for a very specific reason, preach the Word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering, do it over and over and over again, and be well. And that means, as a saint, when I read that verse, now, I may not be the preacher, but I'm the hearer. And that means that I need to pay attention to the preaching and the rebuking and the exhorting and respond to God. Does that make sense? But Jeremiah, who was a very poignant prophet, who said some remarkably painful things, said in Jeremiah chapter 2 regarding Israel, that my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns that can hold no water. Two evils. The first evil is to forsake God as the primary source of living water. The implication of living water, I'm going to live my life well by being in that fountain. I'm going to be happy, fulfilled. I'm going to find my purpose by being under that living water. If I forsake that fountain of living water, I have only one option. I got to drink something. So what am I going to do? I'm going to develop my own little cistern, which collects water. Now, let me ask you a question. How many have ever been in an older house that had a cistern in the basement? Would you rather drink out of a running stream and a fountain or a cistern in somebody's basement? That's the illustration here. We don't drink out of stagnant, stale pools of nasty water with bugs floating on them. There was one of the reasons we got into Safe Water Ghana was when Karen and I lived in Liberia. They would collect water and they'd put water in the kitchen in a barrel. And sometimes that barrel would have little floaties in that water. And I remember walking by there thinking, I don't know how they live this way. And there was fur floating on it. Literally, you could see it was just, ugh. I'd rather drink out of a running stream than a stagnant pool. Wouldn't you? That stagnant pool is everything other than Christ. The only thing that has never disappointed me is Christ. Everything else I've pursued in my life, every other pursuit I've had outside of Christ has always left me frustrated and disappointed. Isaiah 28 illustrates it very beautifully. Isaiah 28, verse 20. The bed is too short to stretch out on. Now, it's never been a problem for me. However, my daughter and son, you know, they're taller slightly than I am. But you know, imagine, how many of you have seen the movie Elf? Do you remember when he's up in that bunk, stretched out there? You know, everything, it just didn't fit, you know. Life doesn't fit the saint outside of Christ. We don't belong here. We're pilgrims, you know. This isn't permanent. Missionary returned on a boat. There was a congressman on the boat, and they pulled into the dock, and there were horns and fanfare and balloons and confetti all over the place. And he sat very quietly and he watched as the congressman received this incredible welcome. The missionary had been on the field for 3-4 years. And the person turned to him and said, "Don't worry, you're not home yet. You're not getting the welcome." He wasn't home yet. You know, when we get home, there's going to be quite a reception. You know, we've recently seen a couple of our dear friends go, and I'm sure they received a magnificent reception. And I'm sure they're glad that they live their lives the way they did. I know they are. But see, we have a bed in this world that is too short to stretch on, and the covering so narrow that one can't wrap himself in it. The bed's too long and the blanket's too short. That's what it feels like. It ought to. We ought not be so comfortable here in this world that we don't toss and turn a little bit at night and have some spiritual ailment, a little discontentment with the way the world is and the way our lives are, but a real contentment in who Christ is. By the way, beautiful Sunday school class this morning. Being sufficiently filled by God so that I don't have to exercise any other drives. You know, to be filled with what I need and not be hungry for anything else. Like that Bible verse we've read to you many times before, "The full soul loathes the honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, even the bitter things are sweet." And in other words, if I fill up on the wrong stuff, I'll never want the good stuff. My mom used to always tell me, "Don't spoil your dinner." Right? Don't fill up on chocolate chip cookies before you have your lasagna. What a travesty. I can't even believe I said that. I would even think of doing that. Right? Don't fill up on junk before you have your real meal. The world offers all these junk foods. It's like there's a constant festival of potato chips and Doritos and Cheetos out there. And God has real food here for us, right? And in your life. Another verse that illustrates this is Isaiah 29, verse 8. "It shall be as when a hungry man dreams, and he looks in the dream, and he eats. But he wakes, and his soul is still empty." How many of you have ever had a dream that you were eating in the dream? I have. That's my repetitive dream. So, you know, you're eating in the dream, and you awake, and your soul is still empty. "Or as when a thirsty man dreams, and he looks, and he drinks. But he awakes, and he indeed is faint, and his soul still craves. So the multitude of all the nations shall be who fight against Mount Zion." I want you to think today of a thirsty world today. In different parts of the world. Why do you think there's so much idolatry in India? Because they're thirsty. Why do people reject religion throughout the world? Because they're thirsty. Religion doesn't satisfy. You can go all over the world and see people who are thirsty. We've been in Ghana and Liberia. I've been in Lithuania. I've been in Sweden. I've been in Finland. I've been in the Dominican Republic. I've been in Puerto Rico. I've been in Honduras. There are hungry people and thirsty people everywhere. But if I live my life here buying things that don't satisfy, I will never be in a position to preach the gospel in other places, to bring other people to Christ. I'm just so occupied with me and what I want that I forget the rest of the world. We don't want to be at that place. We don't want to be there. This man who is hungry, he dreams, and he wakes up, and there's nothing. See, that's like the saint in the world. He goes after this thing, and he gets it, and he realizes he's still hungry. She goes after this guy outside of the will of God, and she finds him, and she gets him, and then she realizes she's still thirsty for the love and attention that only Jesus Christ can give. So this is a great week for us to think for a minute about our lives. Yes, to be thankful for what we have, but I don't want to focus on that, because that's not really the issue, what I have. Anybody can be thankful for what they have materially. I can be thankful for my house, my car, my job, my friends, and I am. And I'm glad to set aside time to be thankful to God for that. But the bigger issue for me today is, where is my thirst directed? Where am I going to be filled? That's a bigger question. Will I let all the things that clamor for my attention have my attention? Will I let my affections be set on things below, or will I let my affections be set on things above? Where is my affection set? In Colossians chapter 3. I say, let's just take a minute and rethink this. And maybe more than even a minute, but let's take a second and rethink this. What am I pursuing? What am I spending my money, my energy, my time on? If it's to further the kingdom of God and to bring people to Christ, then thank God for that. And everyone here, I believe, in a measure, has that kind of hunger and thirst. But we all get distracted, and we all get misdirected. This is why it says that hope deferred makes the heart sick, Proverbs 13:12. Meaning, hope put in the wrong place, you'll always have an unrealized expectation when your hope is in the wrong place. Paul said to the Romans, he said, you know, God will never leave you ashamed if your hope is in him. You'll never be disappointed. You know, if you pursue knowledge, you'll get it. If you pursue wisdom, you'll have it. If you go after souls, you'll win them. If you pursue love, you'll find it. If you're pursuing kindness of people, you'll be fulfilled in it. You'll never be disappointed in God's priorities, in God's pursuits, but the world will always leave us empty. The world will always deceive, and it's not going to change anytime soon. Everybody understand this morning? We good? All right, let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you again for your word, that we can hear it like this, and to know that we've been born with a brand new destiny, and we've been placed in a brand new family. We've been commissioned with a brand new purpose, and we're being transformed into brand new creatures. And it's amazing to think about this purpose and this incredible life you've given us. And we pray, Father, you would teach us how to participate with the saints in these pursuits, that our attitudes and our desires would always be checked by the cross, that we would pick up our cross, meaning each day that those desires, lusts, whatever they are, be checked at Calvary, and that we would lift up our eyes on the field that is white and ready to harvest, and lift up our eyes on the things that you would want us to pursue. Help us to do that, Father, we pray. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to just give you an opportunity to do that. Maybe you've heard several messages here in this church. Maybe you've been in and out. Maybe it's a few times. Here it is in a nutshell. If you're thirsty, come. There's no price. There's no money needed. In other words, we come to Christ and he gives us salvation without us having to earn it, without us going through a bunch of religious rituals to get there. God freely saves. He rescues us as if we were drowning, and he reaches in and pulls us out of the water. There is no price. There's no payback either. Somebody said once, well, Christ died for me. I'm going to give my life to him. You know what? Completely unnecessary. He has your life already. There's no paying him back. To assume that I could pay back such a great gift would really cheapen the great gift. It can't be paid back by humans. This is our life. It's eternal, and it's a gift from God. you want to receive Christ today, here's what I would suggest. Just take a second and just say, yes, I want to come to Christ. That's it. That's all there is to it. I want to come. I want to be His. I'm thirsty. I want a drink of that water. Jesus told the woman at the well in John 4, I believe verse 25, He said, the water that I have to drink, you'll never thirst again. She was thirsty. She'd been through five husbands. She was thirsty. He said, you'll never thirst again if you come to Christ. So I would just say, let's do that. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes just for a second. Lord, I want to come to You today. I'm thirsty, and I want You. If you've prayed that little prayer today, just slip your hand up in the air. No one's looking. I just want to be praying for you. There's one. Is there another one? Anybody else? Thank God for that hand. And Lord, we want to ask You to bless that dear friend. Touch their life. Be with them in a very powerful way. Manifest Yourself to them in a way that, yeah, exactly. You quench that thirst. And we love You and praise You. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.